I believe that if all of us would have asked the question, God, what do you want me to do? Well, another way of putting that is, God, what is your will for me? Or how do I make these decisions? What should I do? If we would ask that, and a number of people, if they would have asked that in 2004, they would have saved themselves a lot of headaches. If you were to ask Kobe Bryant, he would have probably today says, I should have asked in that Colorado hotel, Lord, what would you want me to do? If you would ask Ron Artest and Jermaine O'Neal, you remember them from the Indiana Pacers, who decided to go up in the stands and fight with the audience. They would tell you today probably that they would probably want to ask that question before they went up in the stands. And so you won't think that I'm picking on sports figures. I'm sure that Rush Limbaugh, I know y'all don't want me to criticize Rush Limbaugh, but Rush Limbaugh should have asked that before he got strung out on prescription drugs. Lord, what would you want me to do? And I could really pick on anybody. We all probably, there were instances in 2004 when we should have asked, Lord, what did you want me to do? I venture to say that the same issues will face us in 2005. But beginning this year, where do we go from here? Are there any clues to how we should react to decisions in our lives? Does John Q. Public have the answer? Let's hear what John Q. Public thinks about the future. And let me share with you what I found. I went to Swanee's predictions. Swanee is Philip Swan, who is the author of TV.com, and he says that this year that we're going to be faced with internet TV. And I know that you're worrying about ordinary TV, but he says by the end of the year, we will have internet TV and you will have 1,000 channels. So as you're worried, sometimes I hear people that are criticizing TV and they have computers. You need to be watching your children on the computer. Are you with me? I mean, this thing is going faster than you can even imagine. So keep your eyes open for that. I think Swanee was right on that. He also, I don't know about this prediction, but he said that the Cubs would be the world champs. Well, I guess if the Red Sox could break the curse, maybe so. I don't know. Swanee said that the U.S. dollar will continue to fall, but it won't crash. I was grateful to know that. He might have a point there. And then I went on a site that where the bloggers were talking about predictions. And this is what they had to say. They said that the new Star Wars film that's coming out will be a bust. They said that the troops in Iraq, their death will go over 2,000. I sure hope they're wrong on that one. And another person wrote in and said that, now, you'll have to help me on this. Now, these are people that are just writing in on their predictions. They said the agogo dance will return. I didn't know there was such a thing. Did you? I'm reading exactly. I made sure that I copied it exactly. They said the agogo dance will return. I don't even know what that is. So they don't sound like they're on target. They said that another person wrote in and said their prediction for this year, 2005, is that weed and hemp will still not be legalized. I'm grateful for that. Listen to this one. Someone said that the Bush administration will add two new colors to the terror alert warning, black and white. I'm quoting. These are people's predictions for the future. This one, I read it at the first service. If you're confused, don't worry about it. I was just confused writing it down and reading it. But this is somebody's prediction. All will come back to truthhood, which shall come as a flood. The devils will be on their own here, and that will be the end of fulfillment, which will be so soon. Those without souls of devils will pass away from here, meaning this earth or this cosmos, and we'll pass away from here for good, and we will go unto separate paradises. That's why we preach and teach like we do. There are confused people in this world. Come on, say amen to that. I don't know where to even make that up. I mean, how could you even make that up? Another wrote in and says, in 2005, now listen to this, Bush will make a very important announcement. Now, how many presidents, all presidents make important announcements. He says, I don't know what the announcement will be about, but Bush looks older, depressed, tired, and apologetic as he speaks. He will have to go back on a promise or admit something, and he looks truly sorry for that. Again, I don't know what his speech will be, but it will be something that will affect us all. Now, this is the kind of stuff that's out there on the web. Another one said, and I know the FBI was looking at this one, they expect negatives from Clinton, Bush, and Tony Blair, even assassination. And then they gave the dates. I know they'll be tracking them. They gave the dates of April 3 through 6, May 1 through 3, October 3 through 5, and November 1 through 3. And he says, allow a 48-hour window of opportunity for each date. And then I went to psychicfred.com because I figured they knew more about what's going to happen in 2005. And so Psychic Fred said that light will be used as a healing tool for the doctors in here, and that through computers they will be able to ascertain the appropriate healing frequencies for any given problem and then apply them through light. Well, don't take that too strongly, because he also says in this article that North Korea, he says, I see a nuclear accident. That's a possibility. Anybody could probably predict that. He says, because North Koreans are very angry people, particularly at the U.S. And this one was bizarre. He says, Mother Nature is struggling to cleanse Earth's oceans in an evolutionary plan to create new ocean species as a food source for humankind. Soon there will be some very strange looking life forms coming out of the ocean, but they will be tasty. These people are serious. I kid you not. These are not jokes. These people are serious. And they say this, now this you need to pay attention to this. I see the jet streams shifting and changing the areas from Palm Springs, the Mojave Desert, to Phoenix, Arizona, and Texas. And among other things, the desert will begin a greening. And then I listened to a radio talk show several weeks ago that had ordinary listeners call in to give their predictions for 2005. One said there'd be a major terror attack in April the 5th, or around that time, and there'd be five major cities that would be attacked during rush hour. This person that called in, I knew they were Seventh-day Adventists. I mean, they were talking about Sunday legislation passing. they had Adventists written all over them. So that was another one called in and said there would be the death of Johnny Carson. And this one was an interesting one. They said in 2005 would be the death of the Pope, and he would appoint a black Pope. And they would appoint a black Pope. Oh, come on. Excuse me. We haven't appointed a black president. Don't count on that one, are you with? They said Dick Cheney will resign. And just for those who have some extra money, you might want to put your money, according to this caller, in a new energy source called a bladeless turbine. If you know anything about turbine engines, that's highly improbable. Okay. So are there answers? We have many decisions to make. Do not follow most of the things that I just said. We do not have the answers. As you face 2005 and you face decisions, what to do with your money, where to go, what school to go to, who to marry, all kinds of decisions that we have to make, I just want you to remember one thing in 2005. Just ask yourself the question, what does God want me to do? Everything that you do in 2005, just ask the question, God, what do you want me to do? Is that so hard? I think if we would do that, we would find an answer to many of the dilemmas that we face. You may not believe it, but God is interested when you ask that question. God is not an absentee landlord. He is not indifferent to our decisions. You got plans for 2005? Ask God. How many have plans for 2005 on something? Every hand has a plan on something. Who should you ask? Ask God. I'm sorry to be so simple. But if we would ask God, we would find our lives a lot better. Amen? I'm going to spend about 5 minutes. I just want to highlight something and to help you in that asking that question. God reveals His will. Because we always want to know God's will. What should I do? How should I handle it? God reveals His will through the Bible. Most of us know that. Through His Holy Spirit. And also I was reading that God provides answers to us through His providential workings. And when I read that, I said, now what is that? What is providential workings? But when I really looked at it, it is something that we see quite often, and it's something that we encounter quite a bit. And I wonder why that was so, that God works not only through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, but through providential workings. Providential workings is a particular event or situation where God directly intervenes, and you know it's God. Have you ever had a circumstance where you know God got you out of it? Say amen. Isn't that right? I think about if you're driving cars enough and you've been in an accident, have you ever gotten out of something that you know that the Lord got you out of it? Without question, that's what providential workings are. Something directly, God had His hand in it. Most of you remember the story in Exodus of Pharaoh and the children of Israel. That's what a great portion of Exodus is about. Providential workings work two ways. God can directly intervene in our lives for the good, and He can directly intervene in our lives to wake us up. If you look at the story of Pharaoh, remember God instructed Pharaoh to let his people go? Pharaoh says, no, I'm not going to let him go. So how does God work in Pharaoh's life? And I don't want, you see, in 2005, I don't want God to work this way in my life. If you start at chapter 7 of Exodus and read in your own spare time, you'll find out that God had to use 10 plagues to speak to Pharaoh. The first one was turning the Nile to blood in chapter 7 and verse 17, 8, in chapter 8 and verse 2. You remember the frogs? Frogs were all over the place. The Bible says frogs were in the bedroom, in the bed, all over the place. And chapter 8 and verse 16, the dust became gnats. Now, I probably would have given up right then, I think, anyway. I don't like things flying, buzzing around me. How about you? Chapter 8 and verse 21. And if you want to write that down in your spare time, look at the verses that precede that and after that. When God was asking Pharaoh to let his people go, one of the instructions was, I want my people to go so that they might worship me. It's right in the midst of all of those plagues. We missed that. So that they could worship. Look at that in chapter 8. You'll find that in there. And that's when the swarm of flies came. And then after that, a plague of the livestock in chapter 9 and verse 3. And then the boils, festering boils, the Bible says in 9 verse 9. And then the plague of hail in chapter 9 and verse 18. And then 10:4, then the locusts. And then in chapter 10 and verse 21, the darkness. And then the final plague, what was that, everybody? The firstborn, all right? Firstborn, chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And finally, Pharaoh let the children of Israel go temporarily. Now, I don't want to be that hard-headed in 2005. I don't want God intervening in my life that way. How about you? But it's a sad situation that God has to bang some of us over the head with a hammer to get our attention. I knew I wasn't going to get amen, Dan, when I said that. But I don't want to be that person in 2005. There are some things that we can honestly know. We don't have to ask the question. You don't have to call the pastor, the associate pastor. You don't have to ask some people about some things. They're clear. Amen? And then God's dealing with the children of Israel. Before I go there, do you think that after those 10 plagues, that Pharaoh had an issue with knowledge regarding God's will? Do you think he needed more information before he could let the children go? Have you ever worked with somebody trying to teach them and give them what you consider the truth as it is in Jesus, and they just don't get it? Sometimes knowledge is not a knowledge issue. Pharaoh knew what God's will was. He was just not willing to do it. That's tough, but it's the truth. There's some people just not willing to do it until God has to intervene providentially. Lord, I don't want to be that hard head. Then God works with his own children, the children of Israel. He got them right to the Red Sea. And when they got to the Red Sea, the scripture that was read, I hope you heard that part in there that Pete read. Some of them said, now, Lord, I'd rather go back to Egypt. Did you hear that? And I'm so thankful that there must have been in that group some that felt, let's press forward. In fact, when you read things about it, one of the things that it says, Patriarchs and Prophets, to be more specific, it says, go forward. They were blocked in. They couldn't go back. If the Pharaoh and his army were behind them, they were blocked in on both sides, and the Red Sea was in front of them. But when you read Patriarchs and Prophets, an excellent book on that, and a good commentary, it says that If they had not gone forward, God would have never opened the Red Sea. In 2005, you're going to face some issues that you can't see. But if they're connected with God, God wants you to go forward. You won't see all of the nuances, but go forward. And as they move forward and reach toward the Red Sea or march toward the Red Sea, God opened the Red Sea. God plans. God, what would you have me to do? What you would have me to do is follow you. Why? Because over 2,000 years ago, God intervened in our whole planet providentially. He came to this earth and he lived and he died for you and for me, so that we would be without excuse. One thing we can be sure of about God's will for us is that we would be saved. Anybody have any doubt about that? Have any doubt about that part of God's will? Anybody in here have any doubt that God wants you to be saved? You see, we can't have any excuse, because God providentially entered into our world, became one of us, so that we would not be lost. No one in here today has to worry about being lost because of Jesus. Amen? So you can leave here feeling very comfortable about that when you accept him. I know you have so many things on your heart. One of the things that happened to me this year, the past year, 2004, God's providential working was coming here to Fallbrook. I'm going to grab one of the mics. I came to Fallbrook not because I was unhappy where I was at. Doing fine at Poway and Valley Center. But the Lord reached out and grabbed a hold of me and said, I want you to consider coming to Fallbrook. I want to commend you as a church. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I'll keep saying it because you need to know how important it is that I'm here. You might think that this is common, but this is not common. There are not many churches in North America that would have selected an African American pastor to pastor this congregation. Now, you might think it's ordinary in California. That's probably done a couple of times here or there, but I can assure you that in other places this is not done. Why this is important, why I'm taking time to share this with you, this is the decision that I made coming here. I thought it was important that we model heaven. That's very important to me in my ministry. That we model heaven. And one of the key areas that we need to work on is in our leadership. Amen? And your children gain a valuable lesson, and they gain so much from you when you made the decision to have me come. Amen? Because they see that this is a church that doesn't matter what race. Are you with me? We just want somebody who loves the Lord. Amen? That's what you said to your children when you allowed me to come. And I guarantee you there's some places, there's some Seventh-day Adventist churches that would not have done what you did. I know you don't want to hear that, but it's true. Say amen. You know it's true. Would not have done that, but you did this because all you wanted was somebody that loved the Lord. And that could lead your congregation. That was first and foremost in your mind. And I think that's a tremendous witness to people who come into this church. Amen? Sometimes I like to surprise them. If they don't know who the pastor is, I guarantee you they can't guess. Amen? And so you surprise them many times. And that's a good thing. That tells people volumes about this church. That you're willing to do that. Now, I tone it down a little to be here, but that's okay. What's important to me is what we model. And so you're in a grand experiment for this denomination. My prayer is that one day that this denomination, it will not matter what color that person is. That person can pastor the church, that they are pastoring the church. Amen? We miss so much as a denomination because we do not select people based on their spirituality and all the other things. But we base them on, well, I know this person and I know this person and this person. I pray one day that we'll stop that as a denomination. Amen? So I want to commend you. And my wife and I have been very pleased with being here at Fallbrook. What I want, before I give you the next 15 minutes, I just want to say continue to support us. Our ministry is a little different. One of the things that you are learning is that from an African-American perspective, we're more hands-on. Amen? I know it's a little different style of ministry, so it almost looked like my wife and I are in everything. Well, that's true. That's how we've probably been trained. So we find ourselves in everything. But honestly, as we talk about it, our goal is not to be in everything. It's to model and then empower you. Amen? Because we won't be here forever. It will be a few years and gone, but we want to empower you. So you pray about this year, well, Lord, what do you want me to do in Fallbrook? Amen? You pray about that. And I guarantee you God will give you the right answer. And you won't go wrong in doing that. I have not regretted Dan making that decision when you called me. I haven't regretted one moment because God wanted me to do that. I mean, it was like I had a Red Sea adventure. But I stepped forward. And when you are doing that, God, He'll take care of you. Doesn't mean you won't have problems, but He'll take care of you. I want you to share with me for our next 15 minutes. Now, you'll have to be brief, all right, because I want as many people as possible to share a testimony. I know we can't get it all in, but if we can get through by 12:30, then I think that's when we'll try and work on getting out every week anyway. So anyone wants to...
I shared this in Sabbath school, but there's many more people here now. You going to help me share, Isaiah, or do you want me to tell it all? Okay. Well, we've had some problems with Isaiah over the past weeks. He's been kind of rebellious, and I knew that he hadn't given his heart to God, and I've been praying, Lord, save my son, because there's some anger there and bitterness, and he's not happy. He'd been going over to his dad's on... And they'd visit his cousins, and he'd play violent video games and watch things he shouldn't be watching. And he loved the world. It's exciting. And we didn't allow it in our home, and we were getting away from watching videos. And so he didn't like that. But after the tsunami, I said, Isaiah, you know, so many people just lost their lives. Their probation closed. And I've been trying to teach you about God's ways, and I just don't know what to do. It doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere. And, well, he thought about that. And that night, he told me, Mom, I think he wanted to talk to me. And he said he wanted to give his heart to Jesus. He was tired of being angry and hateful. Hi, Isaiah. And he admitted that he hated Gary. I said, well, you hate Ivana too, don't you? And he said, yes. And you even hate me, don't you? Yes. And so I said, well, that comes from Satan, and we can pray and rebuke Satan and get that out of your heart, and God can fill you with his love. And do you want that? He said, yes. And he says, I used to think that Jesus was coming this long, but now I know it's this close, that we're in the end of time, and it's no time to play, and we need to get our characters ready, Mom. We can't mess around. We have to be ready for Jesus to come. So we prayed. Isaiah gave his heart to Jesus, and he prayed a beautiful prayer. And he's happy now. He's different with his sister. We have a few struggles. There's habits that have to be broken. But Isaiah is walking with God now, and he's enjoying reading his Bible. He said he used to hate coming to church. And he said, the things that I used to love, I am hating. Just the right thing to say. And now I'm loving to read my Bible, and I'm so glad I can read. And we just praise God. Amen. And hope that everyone else here will think about these tsunamis and realize that Jesus is coming soon. It's no time to play in the world anymore. We've got to stop watching things to entertain ourselves, but get back in the Bible and spirit of prophecy and study what we need to know to get our characters right, and then take this light that God has given us to the world.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else nearby where the mic is? Anyone else?
Okay. Yeah, Tanyetta has a new baby. Some of you ought to know Tanyetta. You've probably seen her around.
Hello, everyone. I just wanted to say happy Sabbath, and thank you for this opportunity. I wanted to say thank you, one and all. I'm really bad with names, but as you know, this year has been so many different things that have happened. We just recently moved here in the area. My husband was sent to Iraq. We have a new baby. I have a baby leaving for college soon, so my life has really been another, just like, so many different things that have gone on, but I just wanted to thank you all, and you know who you are, who have called, stopped by, dropped off things, didn't even ring the bell. the food, the gifts, the prayers, everything. I just want to tell you that even though I don't get a chance to tell you personally, I am thankful and grateful that I took a chance. I know your wife thought I was crazy. I was looking for a church. I looked on the internet. Took a chance, and I showed up. And I'm so glad I did, because I have found some really wonderful friends and family here. And even though my family is back home in New Jersey, I do feel like we have a family here. So just please continue to pray for my husband, Darren. He's due to come back home April 2005. It was February, now it's April, you know. But I'm just thankful for each and every one of you. Happy Sabbath.
Anyone else while I'm back here with the mic? Don't be bashful. Okay, I'm coming forward. I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to grab you and touch you. Okay.
Good morning, happy Sabbath, and happy New Year to everybody.
Yeah, happy New Year, happy Sabbath. Thank
you. I just want to thank the Lord, me and my family this morning. Last night, a group from our church, Temecula Spanish Church, we got together to receive the Sabbath, to welcome the Sabbath last night. And my wife's mom's house, we live in Murrieta. And we have, prayed. We talk about how the Lord is going to bless us this coming year for the 2005. And we have a good time praying and singing. And this morning, about 8:30 this morning, my mom's wife called us. We live about 3 blocks away from her house. And she said, my house is on fire. And I said, what? Yes, it's in fire. So my wife get up. We get out of the. It was at 8:30. We're ready to come over here because, you know, sometimes we come and visit you guys over here too. So we run over there, and I told my wife, grab the little fire extinguisher that we have under the sink ourselves. It's a little tiny fire extinguisher. And that did the trick. When we went over there, the whole microwave and stuff of the stove was, the cabinets, they were in fire. All, it was already going to fire. And all we have is a little fire extinguisher. And praise the Lord for that. Because without that fire extinguisher, that house probably should be gone by now. Because the fire department came 50 minutes late. And it was going. And I would say, there's no way. I said, this is a miracle from God, and I got to stand this morning. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to. So, if you don't have a fire extinguisher in your house, you better get one. Okay, because that saved a lot. And praise the Lord for that.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Yes. No.
Hi, everybody. My name is Rosalie. I'm a registered nurse at Kaiser Riverside, and I am a pediatric nurse. And this past week, we had several challenges with some sick kids. And the case that I want to talk about is the little girl of yesterday that... She had a the thing is, we couldn't find a diagnosis. She came in with 2 months of unknown fever, and all her lymph nodes were swollen. And she's an identical twin. The twin is fine, but she's very, very sick. So after having done a battery of tests, of this past week, we came up with nothing. So the decision was to send her to Kaiser Sunset up in Hollywood. So we decided to send her off yesterday. She was transported. And I was the oncoming nurse when she was getting ready to be transported. So I remember the look in her eyes when she was being taken off in the ambulance. The ambulance would not allow her mom or her dad to go with her because for some unknown reason, I think it was with regards to insurance for the ambulance, they were not able to ride with her. She was only 8 years old, and she had to go off by herself, and she was scared and frightened, and I went up to her, and I was trying to find something for her to go with her, and I found a red toy, stuffed toy, that was brought to the unit by somebody over the holidays, and I told her that I had given that little stuffed toy permission to take care of her on her way to the hospital, and she was very sad. But anyway, the reason why I brought this up was because I think a lot of us tend to take our health for granted. We just take it like, well, we're supposed to be healthy and okay. But that's not so. Health is a gift. It's a very wonderful gift from God. And to be healthy day to day, get up and no fevers, no pain, and just being well, to get up and do your daily activities without any problems, that is just not just regular and ordinary, especially in this day and age. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift from God that we should get up every day and thank God that we don't have a diagnosis of any kind. We don't have pain, chronic pain, or you know, some kind of a bad disease or chronic disease. It's not to be taken for granted. And so I just want to just remind everybody that health, and I wish everybody health, if nothing else, for this year, and never, ever to ever take health for granted.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rosa. I agree. Oh, hold on.
You know, in everything we do, anything we do, we have to choose Christ first. I hope this year my children and all my families will choose Him first.
Amen. Someone up here? Dan?
Just a couple of things I wanted to say. This year, 2004, Pastor Jones, has been an awesome year for our family. I don't like my back to somebody, so I'll stand here for a second. We celebrated in June my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. Mm-hmm. And all of my siblings and their families came together for the first time in a number of years because there's 9 of us. And it's hard to get everybody together. We were back in Texas. But we celebrated that time together as a family, and it was a wonderful experience. I'm also very grateful for modern medical science. Many of you know that my dad was here with me and with Karen for the last 4 months. He went through a surgical procedure for his back, and he's doing very, very well now. We're very grateful for that. And as I look back at how God has led in the past, it gives me great confidence for the future. And one of the things that happened to us this past year was just kind of a settling in here in our own church family. I talked about my own family, but our church family is so important. We've been wrestling through Reza's opportunity to get back together with his family, which is close now, close. We've all been praying for that. But here in our church family, which is very important, we live in Fallbrook, California. Our closest family is my brother Scott, who lives up in Burbank. All the rest of them are in Texas or Colorado or someplace else. So our church family becomes our family. And I just want to say how grateful I am to each one of you who are part of our church family. And the other thing that settling in this year was whenever we were able to convince Pastor Jones and his wife, I should say the Lord convinced them to come. And Pastor Jones, I wanted to just tell you on behalf of this whole group, and I know they'll agree with me and say amen in just a second, how proud we are to have you as our senior pastor. And I know that God has awesome things in store for 2005 because of how He's led in 2004. I praise His name.
Amen. Amen. One more, and we'll be just about at 12:30. Okay. All right, George.
I have the privilege of working with our early teens in our Sabbath school. We have the finest group of kids that you could ever want to meet. They are an inspiration to all of us, and I pray that all of us would pray for each one of these kids. They're in their life, they're very impressionable, and there are forces all around them. And we have just the finest bunch of kids, and you guys are a great inspiration to me. I don't know if you know that, but you really are. And this is probably the high point of my life is working with these kids. And I hope that this year that you guys would all evaluate God and who He is in your life. And that nothing would be more, we would be not more grateful for God to see every one of you baptized this year. Because we do know that the end of the world is coming. And you are the future of our church. And we desire just the best for you guys, every one of you. Thank you for letting me be your teacher. You guys teach me more than I teach you.
Anyone else? I said one more, but I said that was it, but I'll get one more. Okay.
I'll try to make it brief. During the tsunami and the earthquake, I don't know if many of you have heard that the world, the axis of the world was turned, and we lost a couple of seconds. Now, I know that the devil wants to destroy every single one of us. And he destroyed thousands and thousands of people in Asia. And so we have this hope that we can only hold on to Jesus because He's our only surety, and He's our guide, and He will see us all through. I've had a rough year in 2004. A lot of things have happened, and I now I have a 56-year-old brother that has 3 days to live. His liver is gone, and his kidneys are failing. He has hepatitis C. There's more plagues going around the world, and yet there's so much to be thankful for. I'm thankful for Reza and for Ghulam, who were former Muslims, and now they're Christians, and I see how they've dedicated their lives to the Lord. He brings us joy. When the Lord knows we need joy in our lives, he gives us, because he knows we suffer and we struggle, and life isn't easy. We have this curse in this planet, but it will be lifted someday soon. And I'm so thankful that Jesus is coming soon, and I long for that day. I mean, I wish it could be tomorrow that he'd come and take us all home, for I'm longing for that better land. So let's press forward together, all of us. Let's keep pressing forward, like the pastor said. Thank you.
Thank you, Stella. Well, let's stand. We'll sing one stanza, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." One of the last places, just before I retired from the Navy, and I was on deployment.